The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Welcome back to another episode of the Macrumor Show. Hartley, good afternoon, man. We're no longer at Apple Park, but you know what? It was still a good time. And I can't believe that it's already been a week since WWDC. How have your thoughts? Have you had a chance to like kind of absorb everything? Because like we recorded the next day, like super early in the morning, 8 a.m. And I still don't know that I like was able to gather all my thoughts on how I feel. So I wanted to revisit some of the things. And then we're going to also spend a majority of the episode going through a lot of the rumors that were right and some that were wrong. It's kind of like a little report card. But yeah, tell me your thoughts. We go over anything you want of WWDC, but I want to know most specifically about Liquid Design. And you know, now that you've seen more renderings and had a chance to kind of sit with it, how do you feel?
My thoughts on it have not fully sort of crystallized yet. Because instinctively, when Apple showed off this shiny new thing, I think it's great. And in particular, I like the fact that the design is consistent across platforms. I never quite liked it that the Mac in recent years had its own design language. And I understood the reasons why they did that, but it always kind of bothered me that the Mac had its own distinct set of app icons that was separate to the iPhone. And even interacting with the Apple TV could be quite different to the Apple Watch, just in the way that layouts work. So I really like the idea of a universal design. But okay. Liquid Glass is very different.
Yes.
And sometimes I feel like it maybe goes a little bit too far. Sometimes it's great and it's very playful and feels a lot more modern. But sometimes I do wonder if it goes a little bit too far. So I haven't quite decided yet. What do you think?
Yeah. So I think I was overwhelmed by a lot of the newness last week. And I really liked a lot of the stuff that I saw. And I still do. But when it comes to the design, I have very mixed feelings. Because at first, when Apple showcased it, I really liked it. Then I saw it in person in a non-controlled setting. Now, I have to reiterate, it is a beta. Things are bound to change. It's not even like, oh, reiterating that it's a beta because there might be bugs. I don't care about bugs. That's going to happen. This is pre-release stuff. I'm just talking about like things could change. Remember, what was it? The Safari toolbar. Everyone freaked out and then it just never saw the light of day or just not in the same way that it was in the beta because Apple was like, you know what? Maybe it's not worth proceeding this way and we might have been wrong and people didn't like it. And so it's just kind of like it gets put out into the world. They get a little bit of a kind of like a focus group, you know, because there's reactions immediately and thoughts and then things get tweaked. So maybe this could change. But initially what I saw in person in a non-controlled setting, I don't know that I actually really liked it as much. And I think it's just a lot of like, I think it's mostly just a lock screen for me, is like if the wallpaper isn't ideal for the liquid glass, specifically for the notifications, it is pretty hard to read. But then I saw it in a controlled environment. I had some briefings with Apple. I was able to see everything again, and it looked really good. So I hate to say that you might have to put some work into this, but you might have to put a little work into it in order to make it look well. And it shouldn't be that way. And I feel like Apple will fix some of these issues. And there are, you know, they're not even issues. I think they might fix some of these things and just the way it looks, because in some environments, and again, a beta, so I have to keep stressing that, in some environments it does a really good job of kind of changing as you're scrolling and makes the legibility a lot better, and it works fine. And then again, it's really just notifications for me, where I saw it on the lock screen and I'm like, oh, that doesn't necessarily look correct. And so I'm anticipating changes, but I just wanted to just kind of say that. But when I was really impressed when I saw all the betas in person and all of the features, everything was great and it looked great. So I just kind of have to I guess I just got to be a little bit more patient until the actual release. Also, how do you feel about the clear icons?
Initially I liked it, but subsequently, when I've looked at that, it sort of reminds me of when you put your phone in like grayscale. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really seem any different to just making your phone display black and white like that. So I'm not the hugest fan of that. And I actually think that for the same reason I was never a particularly big fan of tinted app icons, it eliminates your ability to distinguish between different apps. You know, we associate the Messages app as being green and the Podcasts app being purple. So the moment that those things are not the case, your ability to identify those apps and jump into them as quickly is somewhat inhibited. I think it's nice, and I'm sure some people will really enjoy that. But personally, I don't think it's for me.
And that's the best thing that you just said right there. We don't have to use that. So it's just like the changes that are forced, we can, you know, it's fair to say, oh, I don't like that. I don't know why they changed it. But like the tinting of the icons, which I actually think looks better this go around, because it kind of has that glass. Mm. It's still like it's the clear, and then you tint the clear. And like, I don't know how to describe it, but it just looks better in my opinion this way, if you find a good color that works with your wallpaper. But I'm still not a big fan of that. Wasn't really a big fan of it to begin with. It just kind of made things, like you said, hard to find, hard, you know. But if you really want your home screen to have this universal design, and more so than the liquid design, but like your own custom universal design throughout, then that's a good way of doing it. But back to like just the stuff that Apple changed that we can't really fix. There's a lot of new icon looks. They have like this weird, like frosted layers to them. I think that's growing on me a little bit. I don't know about you, like just the way the icons themselves have changed. I don't know how I feel about some of the redesigned icons, but I don't think I have any strong opinions towards the negative side of that. I think I'm getting used to them a little bit more, but the Finder icon, I've seen some people, there was a meme that was like,
yeah,
the Mac Finder icon, all they did was basically switch the colors around, and one of them just said fire everyone. But I might be on the other side of this. I personally kind of like the new Finder icon. I think it looks more modern.
Hey guys, just want to let you know this episode of the Mac Rumor Show is sponsored by Copilot Money. You know how your fitness tracker like keeps tabs on your steps, or your weather app warns you about when it's going to rain? Well, who's keeping an eye on your money? What app is that for? Well, that's where Copilot Money comes in. It's basically a personal CFO living in your pocket. I've been using Copilot for a little while now, and I actually enjoy checking my finances for once. I used to be that person who would kind of never check my finances because I was afraid of what I might see, but everything is presented in one clean dashboard. Every transaction, every balance, all laid out clearly. No more guessing where my money went this month, and when I say it's clean, I mean it. This is one of the best designed apps I've ever used, especially in the finance department where most of those apps don't look super great. Everything's incredibly easy to use, and I'm not the only one who thinks this way because it was an Apple Design Awards finalist just last year. And what I love is how personal it feels. I can set up my own spending categories, get real-time alerts, and their new savings goal feature is one of my favorites because I can actually watch my vacation fund grow without feeling guilty for spending money on dinner every once in a while. Plus, Copilot is privacy first and totally ad-free. They don't sell your data ever. So this is just a straightforward subscription, which honestly feels refreshing these days. So thank you to Copilot Money for sponsoring this episode. You can get started today at copilot.money and you get 2 months free by just entering in MacRumors2 when starting your free trial. Again, you get a 2 month free trial when you use the referral code MacRumors2 today. Thanks, Copilot Money, for sponsoring this episode.
I think that my sort of my overall takeaway about Liquid Glass right now is that in some places it looks great and in some places it doesn't. Yeah. And so say like I think in the Maps app, it looks fantastic because the colors that are used in the Maps app blend very well behind these layers of glass. And the way that the card expands from the bottom works extremely well. But then in other places, say in the Photos app, where there are many floating buttons above your photo. So say if you have something like a screenshot in Photos that you're looking at, and suddenly there are all of these elements that are floating above the elements that already exist in that screenshot, it is just visually a mess, and you no longer have that separation in a way that you once did. Safari has some similar problems. But then in other apps like Weather, which again is a very simple app with a simple color palette, Liquid Glass looks fantastic. So I think generally the more complicated the app, the less well it works. And sometimes things like the spacing in apps has been significantly increased in some apps. Like I notice, say, in the music app now, the separation between lists is considerably bigger, which in some respects is good because you've got bigger touch targets, but it means I can see less on my screen than I saw before. Simultaneously, some menus are more truncated and smaller than they were before. So say if I want to delete a song on my iPad from my music library, that menu is now smaller in every way than it was before. So I now have to squint a little more and get a little closer to the screen to find the button that I am looking for than I did previously. So that also seems a little strange. It's like they've given more space where it didn't need it and less space where actually they did. And I understand that these things are still being polished and perfected, and we'll see where we are when we get to the final release. But it's the nature of redesigning something so comprehensively. It's inevitable that people are going to have these different perspectives about they should have done this and they should have done that.
Sure. Yeah, it's only natural. And again, I don't hate the design by any means. I do really like it, but it's just inconsistent in some spots. And I think that's where, you know, we emphasize beta. I think that's where it will change. I feel like that's where it will change. This is not a finished, polished product by any means, but I do really like it overall. And I thought you were going to say in the Photos app, when you switch a lot of the buttons on the tabs, that glass bubble, I love that. I cannot get enough of that. I know it's a little extra and unnecessary, but I think it looks really cool.
I like the glass bubble. I think the clock app is a great example of where that works well, because you've got all four tabs remaining as they were before, and you just move that bubble up and down. Where, weirdly, it starts to stress me out a bit is, say, in the music app, where you appear to have those four bubbles, but then once you actually start going into different sections, like if you go into search, all four of those tabs disappear, and then you have to tap back over to a home icon to get those tabs to reappear.
Yeah.
So they aren't persistent in the way that they were before. And that bothers me a little bit. Things feel more hidden than they were before. Like if you want to add a library, if you want to add an album to your library, previously you would just go ahead and press a big X to do that. Now it is buried and you have to press three dots and then add to library. It's just an extra step because they've tried to simplify what you interact with. The same goes for Safari. And I know that there are these different modes for Safari. There are three different options for how you want to make Safari display. But by default, the tabs in Safari, if you want to see your tabs, that's buried. So you have to press an icon with three dots and then select to see your tabs. And I
but
just
it
know
so
that
cool.
It looks cool, but I know that a lot of ordinary people will say,
yeah, they're gonna be
where's that gone? I don't know where that is now.
Yeah. And this is where, you know, maybe it'll be like Safari all over again, where some of those things will come back. But, you know, they did fix the Photos app again. They redesigned it again. Do you like this version better?
I think it's significantly improved, yes.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so let's jump into the report card here. We'll start with who gets an F, or what rumor gets an F, because this one was rumored quite a bit. Like, we talked about it a lot, as if this was going to be something that happened, and it did not. So a Twitter leaker claimed that iOS 26 would enable Stage Manager on phones with a USB-C port. Now, we're not saying this is never going to come. Somebody obviously got information, and you know, it could have been something that Apple was testing, but it maybe is not for right now. So obviously, we did not get that unless we missed it somehow, and it's a hidden thing, but it is not there. And yeah, I mean, were you a little bummed that this feature didn't happen, or were you like, I don't really care?
I'm not overly surprised that this didn't happen, because the thing that didn't seem right to me about this rumor is that the standard iPhones are still on USB 2.0. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure the connection speed would be sufficient to be able to run a fully fledged Stage Manager on something like the Studio Display. However, I do think it's inevitable that this is going to happen eventually, particularly on the Pro iPhones that do have that faster USB 3 connection. And bearing in mind that the iPad has Thunderbolt, there's nothing stopping Apple in a future iPhone putting a Thunderbolt controller on the iPhone. I mean, it already does in its custom silicon, in its M series chip. So that would be quite easy for it to do for the A series chips for the iPhone, especially the A series Pro chips. And when we have larger iPhones, and we eventually, very soon, in fact, next year, have a foldable iPhone, that has a larger display, that probably is going to lead toward having these new multitasking features that we have on the iPad, because there's this very blurred line now between the largest iPhone and the iPad mini, and the iPad mini and the multitasking capabilities of larger iPads. So there's going to be some convergence there. And as such, it seems inevitable that we will get this feature eventually.
I could have seen it happening regardless of USB-C not, you know, being capable on the standard iPhones, because I honestly just assume this would be introduced as a Pro feature right away. Like, that makes sense. I don't know that a lot of people want to do this, and if they do, I could see this being marketed as a Pro feature, get more stuff done, you know, plug into your Studio Display and get more work done on your iPhone, because you're already doing a Pro workflow on your iPhone. I guess this is somehow Apple marketing spinning it that way. And then maybe eventually down the road, we could see it as a feature that can be used on the standard iPhones once they get that USB-C port up and running and able to get it to meet the qualifications. But I'm not bummed that it didn't happen. I don't think we needed it right now, but I do think this is something that should and will happen eventually, like you said. So it gets an F because, well, it just frankly did not happen at all. But it's something that we should monitor in the future. Okay, we're jumping to C-. Who gave these grades, by the way? Was this you who wrote this article? This was Joe. No. All right. Shout out, Joe, for your grading scale. I'm going to have him on. We should have him on right now. Call him. See if he'll explain to us the rating scale and how he did this. But all right, so a C minus, according to MacRumors.com and Joe, the home OS. Okay, well, this should get an F personally, because I've gotten called out on so many of our of our videos when we talked about, oh, last minute, home OS is potentially coming. There was trademark activity. and it could be Apple. And well, that did not happen. So were you surprised that Apple didn't take all of its like home related TV OS, like lump everything together into this new home OS? And also, do you even think this is linked to Apple, this trademark that happened?
With regards to the second question, absolutely it was. Apple home OS is coming. It's basically a fact that that is coming in the future. I remember about 2 years ago, I wrote an article for Mac Rumors because I spotted a job listing on Apple's jobs website that talked about working on home OS.
Okay.
And Apple actually name dropped home OS in its own job listing on its own website.
Interesting.
And this keeps coming up over the years, this name, home OS, over and over again with regards to the HomePod and the Apple TV, because the system that the HomePod runs is a version of tvOS. So it seems inevitable that that system is going to be renamed eventually as Home OS. And we know that Apple is working on this smart home hub product. That would be the device, presumably, for it to debut with. And that sort of rebranding could circulate around that device. Obviously, that device has been delayed. So maybe if it had come out when expected, then this would have come a little bit sooner. But there is no doubt in my mind that we are going to hear about Home OS probably in the next year.
I mean, it'll most certainly be when they launch that product.
It would have been a good time to talk about it at WWDC because then obviously you can engage developers in that and get them to view this platform as distinct from tvOS and maybe reinvigorate interest in developing for Apple TV. And presumably this would also enable apps for the HomePod, which is not something that you can do right now. And the idea of creating a voice-only experience for the HomePod could potentially be quite interesting to some developers. And I think that's where we're going. So that would have been a good time to talk about it. But, I mean, they certainly had enough to fill the keynote with. So, obviously not this year.
Yeah. You think it'll be next year or will it just kind of come out before WWDC and developers will just kind of have to scramble and do it when it gets dropped?
I think that the smart home hub, it's not going to be released supposedly now until early next year. That device probably will debut with what they call Home OS, and that will exist alongside tvOS 26 and the HomePod OS 26 as well. And then eventually this will all be consolidated in the 27 cycle and it will just become Home OS 27.
Hey guys, just want to let you know this episode of the Mac Rumor Show is sponsored by Rula. Let's be real, finding a good therapist, honestly, it feels impossible sometimes. A while back, I was pretty burned out, had lots of stress. I mean, I've got 3 kids and a job that's very demanding, lots of travel, and I knew I needed to talk to someone, but every place I looked either didn't take my insurance or just had a really long wait list. That's why I'm genuinely excited to share Rula with you. Rula makes it so much easier to get mental health care you need and actually uses your insurance to pay for it. Most Rula patients pay only $15 per session. That's real licensed therapy without breaking the bank. What I love about Rula is that they don't just match you with the first therapist who's free. They actually consider your goals, your preferences, and your background so that you can get a curated list of therapists who are a real fit for you. And there's no waiting around. There's no awkward back and forth. Honestly, you can get an appointment as soon as tomorrow if you want to. And Rula sticks with you the whole way to make sure you're getting the care you deserve. Thousands of people are already using Rula to get affordable, high-quality therapy that's actually covered by insurance. So visit Rula.com/Mac to get started. After you sign up, you'll be asked how you heard about them. So please support our show and let them know that we sent you. That's Rula.com/Mac. Rula.com/Mac. You deserve mental health care that works with you, not against your budget. So thanks, Rula, for sponsoring today's episode.
That seems fair. All right, Joe. Well, we're going to have to check back on this one next year. We'll see if we'll get a nice flurry of articles at the last second. But where everyone asking me, where's Home OS? This is what happened. And we'll have to wait until this. I want this thing to come out because it's just, it's new, exciting product line, but I'm getting really annoyed now. This is like Vision Pro all over again for me. I can't talk about this thing anymore until we get some more concrete evidence and we're getting those invites, you know, to a random event next year, I guess, in February or whenever we do our next retreat, because that's what Apple likes to do. Maybe we should just go on retreats once a month. And we'll just get new stuff from Apple once a month.
Well, I think that's an ingenious idea.
That's great for business. So, all right, moving on to the B category. This person, well, I think we'll start dropping names now because this is like, you know, good job. We'll give you your flowers. So John Prosser, which personally I would give an A to because everything that we saw Prosser leak kind of looks exactly the way Apple had it. Like,
I agree.
There is no doubt that Prosser saw live running betas on people's phone or whatever he saw. Those images were absolutely correct. And then he did a very good job of recreating that, or whoever he hired to do that did an excellent job of recreating it. The only reason why, or he's getting to B, is that the home screen icons were not round. But I'm pretty sure John was like kind of on the fence about that too. It was very, you know, like weird how that situation happened, where we had rumors that if you were to long press on the app, it would like then change the icon maybe to something a little bit rounder, but like not really. I don't know. Obviously the icon stayed the same, right? They didn't really change. They look different, but they didn't change in terms of the shape.
Are they not a little bit rounder?
Maybe a tiny bit rounder? That's why I'm asking, like, right? Because, like, no one mentioned or talked about any of this, but, like, they look different. And I can't tell if that's just the way that they've been redesigned visually, you know, from the, like, icon artwork itself and the frosted layers and whatever they, all the other stuff that they add to it in the marketing terms. Or is it actually just a little bit rounder? But either way, I would give John an A personally, but I guess Joe's a little hard on John here. So I don't know. What do you think about his reports? Because, I mean, he was pretty spot on in my opinion.
I think he was incredibly accurate. And one of the things that he pointed out in particular that I would highlight is the redesigned search throughout the system. So now any Apple app, at least, that has a search function that is now consistently at the bottom of the screen in this same floating tab bar that sort of transforms with the other icons at the bottom. And John provided us with a first look at that. I mean, it must have been at least a month ago.
It's been longer than that, I feel like, right? At least 2 months ago, maybe. I feel like I did a couple of videos on this in April, but either way, it feels like we already knew this for a long time. And then when I saw it, I was a lot less surprised because I was actually more surprised.
It was back in January.
Yeah, I was going to say it's been a long time since we've seen these like renders, and the renders were so good that like I wasn't surprised when I saw it. I was more surprised that these were pretty identical to what we saw back in January. So that's really good. And then we also got a iPadOS 26 would be more Mac-like string of rumors. One specifically that we would be getting a menu bar, which obviously we did. And the part that was wrong about this was that it would only present itself when it was connected to the Magic Keyboard. And that, of course, is not correct. It's actually not present at all until you swipe down from the top or bring your cursor up to the top, and then it'll bring itself down and you have a menu bar. So obviously we can just kind of jump into the iPadOS stuff. Are you still shocked that it's just so much more Mac-like than ever, basically, starting with that menu bar?
I think that it's given us everything we wanted, really. I'm not surprised that Apple's done this. I'm just surprised that it's taken so long.
Yeah.
And I think the system works near perfectly, in fact. I'm not sure what I would now suggest to the iPad's multitasking to improve it. I think this has given me everything I wanted in at least each specific area that I've criticized, which has included the menu bar, the cursor, and the windowing, and even things like the previous system where you had those three dots in the center of a window, and then you had to tap that to expand this other menu. And just to get rid of all that and just go to classic Mac traffic light style icons, very familiar, very recognizable. It's perfect.
Have you had a chance to try it?
I have, and it does make my iPad more useful, okay. Noticeably.
Do you think you can use it for your job now?
I think pretty much we're getting there.
What more do you still need?
I think that ultimately the iPad is just never going to be as useful as a Mac, and a lot of the issue for me at least is that I have the 11-inch iPad.
Well, if you plugged it into your studio display or whatever monitor you have.
Yeah, I think that it is totally possible now for me to use my iPad for work. I suppose what I'm saying is that I would still, given the choice, use a Mac because it's more familiar to me. It's still not running macOS. I don't want it to run macOS, but macOS is a better platform for getting actual work done. So I'm just happier in that environment. But if I don't have my Mac to hand or my Mac's run out of battery, absolutely now I will be using my iPad without question in a way that just wasn't possible before.
Are you surprised that, so when you first run the beta, and I'm guessing this will probably carry its way into the actual release, that you get a prompt that says, do you want a full screen app experience? Run your iPad like normal. Do you want these windowed apps version? And I found yesterday in the multitasking and gesturing settings option that there's three levels where it's like full screen windows, or the window tiling system and stage manager. I kind of forgot about stage manager because this kind of takes precedence basically when you pick between the two. And in the icon in the control center, you actually have to long press on that to go from the windowing section to stage manager. So you kind of have to like dig a little deeper to get to stage manager, unless you by default just basically get rid of this windowing system and just do stage manager and full screen apps. But the good news is for those of you who are like, oh, I just looked up what it is you're talking about and I absolutely hate this and I want my iPad to be an iPad. Well, you can just keep it the way it is and just do the full screen apps. But if you go in that windowing system, all you got to do is just drag one of the corners, the bottom right corner, and you can start rearranging and stuff. And I do think that this is pretty much macOS like for me than ever before. I don't think there's anything that I would need at this point, really. I can't really think of anything. But I'm still kind of in your camp in the sense that, you know, I would probably still pick a Mac just because it's a familiarity thing. Like there's no reason why I cannot work on there. Although Final Cut Pro for iPad is definitely different. So like my main portion of my job, I would still need a Mac for. But if they were to just port a one-for-one copy over, it's just more of like, oh, it's a personal preference, not a capability preference. But I've been using the beta. I can say that the window system is amazing. I really like it. It's given me everything I need. I'm not sure if the Mac menu bar right now really makes a whole lot of sense. I don't know why. Like, I just like that it makes it look more macOS-like, but when I go up there, there really isn't a lot of options, except for like maybe in Safari. And what it's mostly good for is just seeing what the keyboard commands are. Because like otherwise, I don't really need to go up there and do any of this stuff. Maybe as apps and developers, you know,
I think the heavy productivity apps, that's where that makes more of a difference.
Yeah, like I think if you're running like Photoshop, and I haven't checked in some of the like the heavy hitter apps where you've got a lot of options, but just in daily use, there's no reason for the menu bar to be there for some of the things. So I'm glad that it's kind of a, you know, hide and seek type deal where it's not always there and you have to go actually searching for it in order to get it. I will say, if you hear me and you're like, oh, I'm going to run the beta because this sounds really good, do not put it on your main iPad. Do not put it on any main device. That goes without saying. But I tweeted prematurely that, oh man, this is like working flawlessly. And it does. But there is one fatal bug that I keep encountering, which is incredibly frustrating. So this is more of a PSA, not a rip on Apple, because as I said 1,000 times before, it is a beta. So these things are expected to happen. But if you start running multitasking windows and you're watching a video, which I was doing on my flight home from WWDC, It just bricks your iPad, and like the video will keep playing in the background, but everything's frozen. You cannot do anything. The moment you press a physical button, then the video stops, but you're still just stuck on screen. And the only way to do that is to hard reset, which if you're like me and you needed to figure out how to do that again, I'm going to give you a little tip here. It's up on the volume button, down on the volume down button. So you go one click volume up, one click volume down, and then press and hold the power button until that thing turns black. I couldn't remember how to do what that whole function was. So I'm trying to help people out there with this. But yeah, it happened to me like 6 times. It was very frustrating. So
that's what happens when you run a beta.
Exactly. And so I just wanted to give everyone a heads up. If you'd run it on an iPad that you're going to use quite a bit and you run into this thing, it's fine. Don't panic. Just do what I said there and it will work totally fine. But the pointer icon got fixed too. I know we talked about this briefly, but.
And that's made a world of difference in my opinion.
Yeah, I really liked it. All right, last thing, the A people. And really, it's just one person. And I guess, 9to5 Mac also got some things we'll talk about, but shout out to 9to5 Mac, I guess. Bloomberg's Mark Gurman. Let's give him his flowers. Round of applause. Got a lot of stuff right. Let's just jump through some of these rapid fire. Obviously, the naming convention, iOS 26, iPadOS 26, all of them are now in line with the year 2026. Liquid glass design was, heavily talked about. The iPad getting a lot of those Mac-like features, Gurman reiterated and talked about. And then a lot of the new phone and messages apps, although I don't remember a lot of the phone features being a thing, mostly the messages app. What phone leaks did he talk about? I don't remember the Hold Assistant, Call Assist being a thing.
I can't say I remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, but the messages app features we did get. So have you had a chance to look at the backgrounds and the polls and stuff?
I've played around with them a little bit, and at least the backgrounds do go a long way to making conversations feel a little bit more personalized, which is nice, I suppose. It doesn't set the world on fire for me, but
I like them and I don't like them, and I think it really does just kind of go back to the liquid glass design. They're not all optimized for the backgrounds. So depending on which background you pick, the conversation just looks awful. I'm just going to be upfront and honest with you. If you have a very busy background, it kind of sucks because it's just too much going on and it's really distracting. But if you get a nice, colorful background that's like more of a solid or a gradient, then it looks really nice. And obviously the group chat indicators, I don't have anyone that I can test this out with right now. But when that does happen, that will be super helpful because I have come in a ton of different situations where you have, you're frantically typing about something and no one's answering right away. And you're like, oh, are they actually reading this? Or is it like, just people are typing and I don't know. So it's good to see that. So you kind of like chill out a little bit on your conversation. I don't know why that's taken so long. That was rumored so many years ago, too.
There are a lot of features like this that
how hard could years, that be?
You wonder why, because iMessage is so popular, and it is really good. But there are also some really compelling third-party messaging apps. Apple did not invent backgrounds in messages. It was WhatsApp, and then that has spread to many other messaging apps. So Apple's a little bit late to the party there, and they're not to be criticized for that. If anything, I think they should be applauded for adopting a good feature that other companies have proven works. But I'd like to see them continue to do that because iMessage can definitely function as a little bit more of a social network. Like its integration with things like Find My is quite nice, but it could go further in tying together these different things and contact cards and these other services. One thing I would love to see in the future would be disappearing messages.
Yeah,
which is a very popular feature in WhatsApp and in Signal and in other messaging apps, because sometimes you might want to send some personal information to someone or an address or a number or something and have the confidence that that will expire. But right now with iMessage, anything that you send there is a permanent record unless both people that receive it or if it's in a group chat, unless everyone deletes that, which I think is a little bit strange for Apple. That's a company that talk so much about privacy. You'd think they would be one of the first companies to actually introduce support for expiring messages.
Yeah, that always bothered me too. With like when undo send became a thing, you know, and it was just like, oh well, if this person had, you know, hasn't updated any of their other things, they're still going to see that message. And it's like, no, just don't deliver the message to that person then. Like, just remove it completely. And I don't like if they don't have it and I'm sending you, I don't know. I don't know how they would be able to do this, but that always really bugged me because I'm like, oh, I accidentally sent a message and maybe it was something that was mean and it wasn't. I'm not speaking from any personal things, but like maybe you sent something and you're like, oh crap, I didn't want to send that. So but they still see it on another device. Like that from a privacy perspective, it just doesn't work. But I'm sure it was really hard to manage the behind the scenes there, the back end of that and how that feature works. But thankfully everybody is seemingly updated to this point. Although I have recently come across a person where I undid send and or I did the undo send feature and it still said this person doesn't have all of their devices updated. And I'm like, come on, bro. It's like we're 2 years already to this point. You need to get on that. It's probably like some random iPad that's sitting in a drawer or something. But another thing that we got was the Games app. And I didn't remember the preview app being a rumor, but I'll take Mark Gurman's word for it and the article here that was rumored beforehand. But I was shocked that the preview app was coming to the iPad, let alone the iPhone. But I'm sure you, as somebody who works in rumors constantly and is in that world 24/7, while I am more on the review product side, you were probably not surprised. But what were your thoughts on getting the preview app? Were you super excited about that one?
I actually was.
Yeah,
because I think it was a glaring oversight, especially when you consider that Apple has made so much about the iPad being an app for PDFs that you can mark up with the Apple Pencil.
There's nothing.
And yet there was no preview app. So if you wanted to work with a big PDF, you were just doing that in the Files app, which didn't really have a dedicated solution for these sorts of things. And the way that Apple's actually done it, which presents it almost like pages or numbers, where it has its own folder in iCloud, just like it does on the Mac, it makes so much more sense. You've got somewhere you can store things, you can open things up from within preview, and you've got a much more comprehensive set of features. I think it's another thing that's well overdue. I think the only thing now that the iPad is probably missing in this regard is like text edit, where you can just edit plain text without a third-party app, because that is an important thing to be able to do sometimes.
Yeah.
Even if you want to, you know, I talked about my enthusiasm for Markdown last week.
Mm-hmm. Did you test that on your iPad? Were you so excited?
I have tested it. Yeah. And it works
everything
pretty
we dreamed
good.
Of.
It's pretty good compared to the options that were there before. I would like to see Apple go further and actually adopt Markdown completely in the Notes app. But when it comes to Markdown files in general, if I have a Markdown file on my iPad, I can't edit that without a third-party app like Obsidian or Ulysses. I have to have those installed. And sometimes I actually don't want to do that. I just want to be able to open it up in text edit and see a plain text file. If Apple actually did add the just the text edit app to the iPad, at that point, really, it would have everything, at least as far as I can see, my personal needs.
All right. So overall, I would say the leaks, for the most part, they're all, aside from the one that was blatantly wrong, I would say this was a pretty, you know, unfortunate for Apple, but a pretty well-leaked WWDC, especially since WWDC doesn't really get a ton of leaks, like, you know, the iPhone and everything. So I thought what was leaked was, you know, very accurate for the most part. And then what wasn't leaked was great because there were still a lot of surprises left. You know, being in the audience and hearing all the gasps is really great and what it's all about, in my opinion, which is why I miss live keynotes for everyone, because I want everyone to be able to experience like the crowd reactions, because it does kind of really unfortunately, it does influence your perception a little bit on some of these features, but it does make it more fun. It's like going to the movie theater, like watching it with other people, in my opinion, makes these things more fun. But I know that others prefer it the other way. So let us know in the comments down below what you think. I think that this was a pretty good WWDC. Personally, I thought it was one of my favorites in the last 5 years. Hartley, what do you think?
I agree. I think it was, we have had some very big announcements. The year before last, we had Vision Pro. Last year, we had Apple Intelligence. Mm-hmm. This year, we've had Liquid Design. We have had a string of pretty good WWDCs. There's no real big complaints from me.
Good. That's the way we like to hear it, right? No complaints from either of us, guys. This was a overly positive episode, in my opinion, because while we had some complaints, it's not anything that we're like, oh, this is the Apple's in trouble. Like, no, they're fine. I think Liquid Glass will end up being something that is universally accepted. I think. I know at first there are some people that are
unsure. It'll be refined and iterated on. It needs
exactly.
to be.
It will be. And I think that's why it'll be fine. So, all right. Well, let us know in the comments down below, and we'll catch everybody in the next episode.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Message and data rates may apply. Or consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes, Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s. But for 80 to 90% less and ship directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Call #250 with the word care to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Call #250 with the word care right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Call #250 with the word care. That's #250 with the word care. #250 and care.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.